We're holding on Zion Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Yeah. On Zion Amud Beis by the Mishnah, but okay, to recap, we had a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, whether if the meat or the emurim of kodshim were taken out of the azara before the zrika, does the zrika have an effect on them to take away me'ilah or to make me'ilah bichal and to make kligel moser and tomei bichal on them? Rabbi Eliezer says no. Rabbi Akiva says yes, and we discussed that Rabbi Akiva would distinguish, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Akiva would distinguish.
The question
is whether Zrika moil or yotze or not. Does the Zrika Saddam help from, does it have an effect on meat or on emurim that were outside the Azara and became kosher? To make it, in the case of meat of kodshe kodshim, that now it's not kodshe Hashem anymore, and therefore me'ilah doesn't apply, or by emurim of kodshim kalim, that they are now kodshe Hashem and me'ilah does apply to them. So Rabbi Eliezer says no, Rabbi Akiva said yes. And we mentioned in that case, Rabbi Akiva gave an analogy in the Mishnah, a case where a person has two chatois, two animals that have kedushas chatas, where he shechted the both of them and sprinkled the blood of one of them, and the same way he wants to draw an analogy from that to the case of the psul of Yotzer, and we mentioned in that connection a machlokas between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, whether there would be a difference whether they were shechted b'vasachas or b'zeachazeh. Where Rabbi Yochanan says there's a difference, Rish Lakish had argued in the name of Rabbi Oshia, there's no difference, and Rabbi Yochanan slogged up Rish Lakish and showed that it does, that there is actually a difference, whether it's b'vasachas or b'zeachazeh. Okay. So the Mishnah says.
It's a svara.
Okay. Mishnah. Yesh damim b'kodshim kalam l'hokul l'achmer. When it comes to the sprinkling of the blood of kodshe kodshim, sometimes that creates a kula, and for some purposes a chumra. Or kodshim kalam kulu l'achmer. When it comes to kodshim kalam, though, the zrika only makes for a chumra relative to the dinim of meila and kigul moser and tamei. Kesan. What do we mean? Kodshe kodshim. Lifnei zrikas damim, when it comes to kodshe kodshim, as we've been saying throughout the parak, before the zrika, molen ve'emurehen ubebosser, then me'ila will apply to the emurim as well as to the meat. So a person had hana, or a person was poigim, either in the emurim or in the meat, then he's going to be chayev for the consequences of me'ila. La'achas, kodshe kodshim. Lifnei zrika. La'achas zrikas damim, but after the blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach, molen ve'emurehen ve'en molen ve'bosser. Now me'ila applies only to the emurim. Now me'ila doesn't apply to the meat anymore, because the meat is not kodesh Hashem anymore.
Why did the zrika take him off? Because now the zrika,
as we've been discussing throughout the parak, makes the meat mutter to eat. Once it has heter l'koyanim, as we've discussed, then it's not kodesh Hashem. The emurim has to be burnt on the mizbeach. Exactly. Either way, for both the meat and the emorim, a person would be chayiv for eating them if they're pigul or if they're noiser or if he's tummy. Nimsa ma'ase jamim, because she called him lahokal lahachmer. So it comes out in a certain way. The ma'ase jamim, the zrika of the kodshe kodshim, creates a kula that you didn't have before, because now me'ila no longer applies to the meat. No. Lagabi the meat, it creates a kula, but lagabi the meat, it also creates a chumra. And by the emurim, it also creates a chumra, namely that pigul, noser, and tomei now apply to them. If a person were to eat from the meat or from the emurim before zrika, he wouldn't be over on the issue of pigul or noser or tomei.
Basically, what we're saying is that pigul, noser, and tomei applies
as soon as the blood is sprinkled.
The blood is sprinkled.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Over kodshim kalim kulam lahachmer ketzad. In what sense does the zrika create only a chumra when it comes to kodshim kalim? It means like this: kodshim kalim lifnei zrikas damim. When you're talking about kodshim kalim and you're talking before the zrika, ein moilin loy be'emurim v'loy be'boster, then me'ila does not apply to either the emurim or the meat. Kodshim kalim, the rule is, as we've discussed,
there's no me'ila
until the zrika is done. Therefore, la'achas zrikas damim moilin ve'emurim ve'en moilin ve'basar. After zrikas damim, now me'ila applies to the emurim, but it doesn't apply to the meat. Alzev alzev chayav and olam mishum kigul noser v'tomei. And then both the emurim and the meat are going to now be subject to kigul noser and tomei. Nimsa, so it comes out, Maisa Jomim, Kodshim Kalim, Kulam Lahasmir. So it comes out that in Kodshim Kalim, the Zrika only creates a Kumra, it doesn't create a Kula.
It's just the inverse of the Kodshim.
Well, it's not really, it's, well, sort of, but not totally, because we said when it comes to the Kodshim, it creates a Kula and a Kumra. We're saying over here it only creates a Kumra.
A cooler for the kosher kodshim,
namely that me'ila no longer applies to the meat. Well, not only that you're allowed to eat the meat, but that it's no longer kosher Hashem, and therefore me'ila wouldn't apply to it. Which means, in other words, practically speaking, it means, for example, let's say we're talking about the part of the meat that was supposed to be eaten by the Korean. Let's say in the case of kodshim kalim, we're talking the fuzz of a sheik. If a zur were to take that and eat it or whatever, he wouldn't be over on me'ila. But kodshim, the meat after the zrika, well, at kodshim kalim also, me'ila never applies to the meat, but the point is, kodshim, so we're talking about a chasas, let's say, so a zor eats from it after the zrika, he hasn't committed me'ila, he's over on various other eaterim, because he being a zor is not allowed to eat a chasas, fine, but as far as me'ila, that's out. So that's the point, in other words, that you have a kula, but you have a chumra, because if the korban was pigul, only after the zrika is he going to be chayiv karis for eating pigul. Or a chatas. Only after the zrika, if it becomes noiser, is it going to be chayev koris or a chatas? And the same thing if he's tummy. Before
so
zrika, for the meat, before or the emorim for that matter. Before the zrika, that wouldn't apply.
For the kalim.
For kachet kodshim.
After the zrika.
After the zrika. That only then does pigul noiser and tummy kick in. But for kachet kalim also. So that's the point. With Kodshim Kalim, you have only a Chumrah and no Kula. You have the Chumrah that now, after Zrika, Me'ila begins to apply to its Emurim, and also that Pigul Noso and Tomei begin to apply to the Emurim and to Misa. So the only Chumrahs, right. The reason why, by the way, Achronim say, why does the Mishnah stress again, if it started out saying Maisa Jomim Lahokal Lahachmer and Kul Lahachmer, why does it finish off and repeat Nimsa Maisa Jomim Kodjim Kalim Kul Lahachmer? So first of all, it could be that's the style of the Mishnah sometimes, but there's also a bit of a point in it that the Tana wants to stress. You would never think that there's a Chumrah in Kodjim Kalim over Kodjim. You would think always Kodjim. But here you see a rare exception where there is. Okay, so there's
other kulas for kosher
kalim. Obviously, but we're not getting into that. That's right. Obviously the zrika of kosher kalim obviously creates a great kula that now you're allowed to eat the meat, but we're not getting into that.
We're only focusing
on the things of me'ila and pigul and noisa and chum. Yeah. So the Gemara says, "Katani ein moilin bebaser." Now, what are we saying in the resha of the Mishnah that after zrika, me'ila doesn't apply to the meat? Implying me'ila hu deleka, so it sounds like me'ila no longer applies, ha isura ika. It sounds like there's still an isur, for the kohen who eats it. Now why? Because otherwise, why is it saying? Ein moilin, the ein moilin b'basar. Yeah, the expression should be moilin b'emirin b'abosar mutar, or something like that. Why use an expression, ein moilin b'basar, implying you're not allowed to eat it, but if you did, you haven't committed me'ila. What do you want? What is there? Is there Vamai Homamona to Kohen? It's the Kohen's property at that point.
So maybe he's talking about
that. Now, the Pashtus, we're assuming that still, it could have said there's Mutter to the Kohen and whatever. But there's also the point, actually, I mean, there is the fact that Emurim still have to be burnt on the Mizbeach before the Kohenim are allowed to eat the meat. Fine, but you could argue that's sort of a side thing. But the point is also, even as far as the issue, you have there's a specific issue that exists before Zrika. After Zrika, you have there's a side issue that they more have to be burned. But that's it. The point is, in other words, why is the Mishnah phrasing it as if there's an actual issue involved? The answer is loikasha. That's not a problem. Mishum the nosiv reishem moylin nosiv sefer ein moylin. Just because the previous sentence. The previous sentence says that moilin be'emurei hen b'basar. So therefore, now it has to be parallel. It says in moilin. So it's true. It is completely mutter at that point. But because it said moilin before, so now it says in moilin.
But everybody take the before this picture. Not
either of the Emurim. He is loyal on me'ila, that's what we're saying.
No, listen.
Before Zrika, me'ila applies to the Evorim. After Zrika, it does not. But the reason why the Mishnah only says Ein Moilin, which makes it sound like it's author, is just because the Mishnah wants to be parallel. It used Moilin before, so now it says Ein Moilin.
In order to be parallel, heuristic of shoes,
That you have many times the Mishnah will do that. The Mishnah expects it. Yeah, but the Mishnah, the Tanya can expect that we're going to understand. That's what happens with Torah Shabbat Peh, that we'll understand that he doesn't just mean that it's all through and he just says,
I mean, you think that the Mishnah comes to clarify, not to confuse.
Okay, we've been learning Gemara for 6 years. This is the style. This is the style of the Gemara. Okay, but so this is how it is. That the Tana can use a short expression, and after all, the Mishnah is, we're not meant to learn halacha straight from the Mishnah. We have a Gemara that goes with it, and therefore, when the Tana teaches this, then his Talmidim will discuss it and realize that that's what it means, as the Gemara is saying over here, that it means that it's just there for parallelism, it's just there in order to be able to memorize the Mishnah, but not that represents it. Yes, that's the reason. Yeah. Okay, aim a sefer, but if you're going to say that, look at the sefer of the Mishnah. We said the kodshim kalim kulu lahachmir. We said when it comes to kodshim, the zrika only creates chumras. Wait. Kesad. B'sar kodshim kalim lifnei zrika zamim ein moylin behen or ve'im ve'hen. We said when it comes to kodshim kalim before the zrika, me'ila does not apply to the meat or to the emorim. The ain chayovin aleim from pigul noisu the tamei, and the chayovin of pigul noisu and tamei don't apply yet before the zrika. La achas zrika damim moylin beimurain, but ain moylin bebaser. So why over there are we using the expression ain moylin bebaser? Again, meilahu deleka. Are you saying that means there's no meilah at that point? Ho isura ika, but there is an isur still on the meat. What isur? Vamai hamamoyne debailim. Here we're talking about kodshim kalim. At this point, after the zrika, the meat is already the property of the owner, and here you can't even say it's aga the fact that it said moylin beimurain. Because here it didn't say Merlin Ve Morim. Here you had it was Kodshim Kalim. We said there's no Meila, not in the Imurim and not in the Boss.
The Imurim, what happens?
Kodshim Kalim, they have to be burnt on the Mizbeach also. But before the Zrika, Meila does not yet apply to them. They're not yet called Kodshe Hashem until the Zrika is done. That's how it is. So therefore, why are we saying ein moylin bebaser,
right,
which makes it sound again like there is an ister on it? The answer is Amar Rav Chanina lo yotzin. So Rav Chanina answers what we're talking about over here. When you're right, in the sefer we can't say it just because in order to be parallel, it has to be that the Tana is implying there is a certain ister on it, and the reason would be lo yotzin. We're talking about where the meat was taken out of the azara and then the blood was sprinkled. And by the way, now we can say that the pashtus applies to the reisha as well. Now we don't need to say that in the reisha he did it only to be parallel. Now to answer your question, we can say that he's doing it to teach us an actual din, because we're talking about leyotin, where the meat of the korban was taken. No, it would be for both. Chanina is answering that the Mishnah is talking about yotin. Namely, therefore, our Mishnah would go like Rabbi Akiva, which we learned in the previous Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva said zrika me'elos leyotin, that zrika has an effect and it changes the status of meat that was taken chutz l'mechitzasai.
In other words,
that mo'il, in other words, it's effective. It has an effect in changing the status. So therefore, Rav Chanina says, and what the Mishnah wants to stress is, ki omer Rav Akiva zrika me'elos leyotin. When does Rav Akiva say that zrika has an effect on meat that was taken out of the azara, or emurim that were taken out of the azara and became
possible? Because of kodshim zelibes
both kodshim. Both kodshim and kodshim kalim yotzei is possible. It's interesting actually. Now that you mention it, the Rambam mentions that even with kodshim kalim, if the meat was taken out of the azara before the zrika, it would also be possible. The Ravid says, what are you talking about? The Kodshim Kalim, the meat is allowed to be anywhere near Shalayim. Why should taking it out of the Azorah? No. The Rambam, apparently the Ravid learns that if it's outside the Azorah during the Zrika, there's no problem as long as it's inside your Shalayim. The Rambam learns that no. Kodshim Kalim is talking about, which can be eaten anywhere near Shalayim. The Rambam obviously disagrees, and he says that no, even with Kodshim Kalim, the meat has to be in the Azorah at the time of the Zrika. Anyway, the point is that the point is that Rav Chanina is saying when our Mishnah is implying in the Sefer, and I guess also in the Reisha, that there's still an Isser on the meat after the Zrika, and saying there's no Me'ila implying that there's an Isser, what we mean is we're talking about where the meat was taken out of the Azara, or the Emurim were taken out of the Azara before the Zrika, which made them possible. And therefore, the point is, what the Mishnah wants to tell us, Ki Omer Rav Akiva Zrika Me'elos Ha'yotzei, In what sense is Rabbi Akiva saying that Zrika is effective regarding the Yotzei, that it changes its status, that now, for example, if it was Kodshe Kodshim, that Me'ilah goes away from it, and then if it's Kodshim Kalim, then Me'ilah comes on it, only with Srefa, only insofar as you have the din that you have to burn it. Which means, in other words, so Rashi explains, what do you mean as far as burning it? Either way, you would have to burn it. The point is, in other words, that if the Zrika was done, and the only problem is that it was Yotzei, then we have a din. It's called, it needs Ibur Tzura. It's considered, it's not a soul begufa. It's not an intrinsic soul to the carbon itself. It's only kind of a side soul. Therefore, the din is we have to let the meat start spoiling, and only then are we allowed to burn it. As opposed to if we said that it was still considered Kodshei Hashem, then we would have to burn it right away.
Here we're saying that because
the Zrika accomplishes that now it needs Ibur Tzura before you're going to burn it. Avala Achila Hu Delei Merasa. But Rabbi Akiva will still agree that the Zrika is not Merasa. It doesn't make the korban acceptable because the meat had been taken outside. So therefore, in other words, the meat is still offer on the grounds of Yosef. And therefore, so that's the point. The Mishnah is implying that by saying Ein Moilin Beboster doesn't mean you're allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat it on the grounds that it was Yosef. But Me'ilah won't apply to it anymore because in that sense, Zrika Me'ilas. So that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us. Okay. So that's what it means. There is some discussion actually about do we mean that Tosfos brings a different gear over here that when we say la'achila hu delo merasa, does that mean that would mean in other words as Rashi is saying that does that mean the zrika itself is not making the korban acceptable? In other words, in that sense, the korban was not even accepted as a valid korban, and therefore you're not allowed to eat it. Or is it the korban is actually accepted as a valid korban, however you have a soul of Yosef? Two different ways of looking at it. We know that if the blood of a korban wasn't sprinkled, then you're not allowed to eat it. So we say, or if the blood was sprinkled by somebody who was tamei or whatever, somebody who was possible, whatever, then we said it's not miratze, the korban is not acceptable. So that would be one ground. There's no kapara, so that would be one ground to say that you can't eat it. The other ground could be to say the kapara was accomplished. However, the meat is possible on the grounds of Yotze. So two different girsais that there are in the Gemara over here, what exactly the point is. But either way, the point is that Rabbi Akiva would be saying, the Zrika only helps to a limited extent. It still is not master it to eat. And that's what the Mishnah is implying by using the words Ein Moilin, implying that there's still an issue. But he's saying Zrika Ma'elas only insofar as that it changes the din as far as Srefa, but not as far as the din that you would be allowed to eat it.
So there wouldn't be Me'ilah,
that's the point. Ein Moilin, that's why the Mishnah says in both parts, Ein Moilin. Ma'elas means is effective. You're thinking it's Ma'elas Meloshin Me'ilah. No. Ma'elas is Meloshin Toyelas. Meloshin that it has a positive effect. Okay, so that's where you're getting confused, right?
Okay, okay.
So the meaning of Mezrika Ma'elas means that it helps, that it's effective, La Yotze, as far as the Yotze, that changes its status, and the result of that changed status is L'Strefa, that it changes the dinim regarding burning it. But not as far as eating it.
Changes the Yotze from which status?
From the status that before the Me'ilah was subject to Me'ilah, and now it's not.
As far as Strefa, though, that
is Rashi is saying, that you don't burn it right away. You have to do Ibur Tzura first. You have to let it spoil first. Yeah. Okay. Tosfos is learning a little bit differently, that Zrika Me'elos L'Yotze insofar as Tigel and Noser and Tomei, but when it means L'Strefa, means either way it's getting burnt. Tosfos doesn't learn that there would be the difference of Ibur Tzura or not. Okay. Hadron Allah Kodshe Kodshe.
You need Ibur Tzura for what?
Because the general rule is when you have Tzula B'Gufay, when you have an intrinsic soul in the korban, for example, it was Tigel, then you have to burn it right away. When you have a side soul, for example, Yotzeh is an example of that. Another example, let's say, is that the Korban Pesach, if the owners are not able to eat it for whatever reason, so then you need Ibur Tzura. Okay. Hadron Allah Kodshe Kodshe. All right, so now in this first parak, we've been dealing mostly with the din of psulim of kodshim. You have a korban that became posel. When does me'ilah apply and when does it not apply to it? That was most of the subject of the first parak. Now we're going to start dealing with regular korbanos. We're going to go through all the categories of korbanos and see for each one, when does me'ilah begin and when does it end? We're starting with Chatzos Ha'oif, but then we're going to talk about all the other ones as well. We're going to talk about Olos Ha'oif, we're going to talk about...
In Chatzos Ha'oif,
we're going to deal with all the different types of korbanos. Yes. So then we're going to talk about when Me'ilah begins and when it ends. So here we're not talking about ones that are possible. Here we're talking about regular standard operating procedure is done with the korban. When does Me'ilah begin and when does it end with each type of korban? Yeah. So the Mishnah starts off Chatzos Ha'oif. And by the way, Tosis points out the next Mishnah is going to mention chatois of animals. So why did the Mishnah first mention chatois the oif, and then it's going to go on to olos the oif, and then it's going to go on to and then it's going to go on to animals? Tosis says because we know that when it comes to bird korbanos, or in general when you have a chatos and an oila together, the chatos always goes first. You always bring the chatos first. Therefore, the Tana wanted to mention chatos first. And the reason why he wants to mention bird korbanos first is because in the case of an oila in particular, me'ilah applies to all of it, including even the skin of it, because everything of it is burnt on the mizbeach. As opposed to an oila behema, the skin goes to the kohen. So there's still something of it that Me'ilah ends up not applying to.
So why would it precede animals?
So that's why it would precede animals, because first it wants to talk about the ones where Me'ilah applies to the whole thing, and then it's going to talk about when. Okay. So Chatos...
In other words, applies to the skin.
Right. So Chatos Ha'oif, Molen B'Mishah Hukisha, Me'ilah begins to apply to a Chatos Ha'oif from when he was Makdashit. Now, Rashi mentions over here the word Mishah Hukisha. Rashi uses the expression B'Peh, that he was Makdashit verbally. Which that one word in Rashi led to an interesting exchange of letters between the Rebbe and his father, Rav Levitz, on the question the Rebbe asked in one of his letters. You can find it in Lechut Levi Yitzchak. So the Rebbe asked the question, why does Rashi mention over here B'peh? Don't we have a din that if a person has in mind that it could to bring a machshava forget about Tumah. Tumah is another matter. But as far as Kodshim, even if he has in mind only in his heart, Kol Nadiv Lev, then yeah. So the Rav Levitz answer is basically that there's a difference between, if a person has the machshava, it makes a chovas gavra on him, that he's obligated to bring a korban. And if he had in mind about this particular animal, then he has to bring this particular animal. But it doesn't yet give kedushas that goof to the animal or the bird until he actually says it verbally. And then the Rebbe argued back on that and said, but what about we find by truma that you can designate it by machshava? And Rav Levitz answer, same idea. That's by truma. You can designate it by machshava, but it doesn't have the full status of truma until you actually designate it by pair or by a dime. Okay, so once he was machdash it repair, Rashi says, let's say, for example, he sold it, then he's committed me'ilah. Now, selling it actually does not actually take away the kedusha of it, because, as we're going to learn in the Masechta, something that has kedusha taguf, selling it does not take away the status of kedusha on it, only if it has kedusha dami. It still retains kedusha, yeah. But the point is, the person still is committing me'ilah in the sense that he got money for it and he had anah from it. So therefore, in other words, there's a difference. We're going to talk about later in the Masechta, things that have kedushas domim, once the person commits me'ilah with them, then they no longer have kedusha. Two things happen. He is chayav a korban me'ilah, and he's chayav keren b'chaymash and asham, but also the object itself loses its kedusha. But when it comes to kedushas aguf, it's not like that. Mm-hmm. So therefore, kedushas aguf. Well, the bird has kedushas aguf, because it was meant to be brought as a korban, as a chassas. So from when he designates it verbally and says this is going to be a chassas, from then on, if he were to sell it, let's say, so he hasn't taken off the kedusha of it. So Rashi uses the expression dehitzia l'cholin, but the Achronim say there must be a mistake in the words of in the words of Rashi. It must be a Torah Sadfus. It's not dehitzia l'cholin because he didn't actually take it out l'cholin. Literally, it means that he's trying to take it out l'cholin by selling it.
So kochi kochim, when he takes it out.
Yeah.
Kochi kochim or kochim kalim. And we're saying that kochi kochim, me'ilah begins to apply when he's makdashim. But the principle that you can't sell them. No, the principle that it loses its kedusha is only kedushas dam. He is kedushas aguf. Okay. So, moilin b'mishah. What do you mean for both? Mi'ilah doesn't apply to Kodshim Kalim until Zrika. We learned that before.
After that,
Mi'ilah applies to the Emorim. Now, if he were to try to sell that Emorim, he'd be committing Mi'ilah. Okay. So, Nimlaka, once Milika was done on the bird, Huchshara, now it's been Muchshar, now it gets an additional level of Kedusha. Therefore, the Hipostle, the Tvul Yoim of a Mechotzi Kippurim, number one, if a Tvul Yoim touches it, it now becomes Postle. Or if a Mechotzi Kippurim touches it, it's Postle. Over Lina, and also that if Lina happens, it also becomes possible. Lina over here can mean either that the Lina over here can mean that the blood was left over, or it can mean that the meat was left over beyond the time. A chatas ha'oif has to be eaten within a day and a night. It's like a chatas behema. So Lina over here would be both. So one, in other words, that once the malika is done, then the clock starts on Lina. Who's a dama? Once the blood was squirted onto the mizbeach, at that point, now the isurim of pigul noisu and tome kick in. So now if the korban was pigul and a person ate from it, he'd be chayav kores or achatos, and the same thing with noisu and the same thing with tome. The ein b'me'ila, and now that the blood was squirted onto the mizbeach, then me'ila goes away as usual with kodshim, that once the zrika is done, then me'ila goes away. Okay. So the Gemara says, Katani Hukshirali possible Tvul Yom of Mukhotikiporim of Alina, we're saying here that once the Malika is done, even before the Hazdah is done, we're saying that at that point if a Tvul Yom touches it, or Mukhotikiporim touches it, or Lina happens, we said Liposel. The Mishnah used the expression Hukshirali Posel. It's now susceptible to being Posel. Now we know when it comes to Dinim of Tumah V'Tahara, we have a difference between the word Posel and the word Tomei. We've learned about this many times before. Posel implies it's tame, but it can't be metame something else. So, for example, we have, let's say, with kodshim, you can go all the way to revi. You have with cholin, you can only go as far as sheni. With truma, you can go till shlishi. With kodshim till revi, we learned about this in cholin. And in other places, the lowest level for each of those is called posel. Because, for example, let's say truma, that's a shlishi. It's posel, you're not allowed to eat it. But it can't be metame other truma. And the same thing with Revi and Kodshim. So when the Mishnah uses the expression Lipostel Ein, it sounds like if Tvul Yom touches this bird that Malika was done on, then he makes it Postel, meaning a Revi, Avala Tamur Yeloi. Apparently he doesn't make it actually Tomei, as in a Shlishi Ohio. So Masnissin Mani, which opinion, which Tana then would our Mishnah be like? The answer is Rabbanan. It would have to be according to the Chachamim who disagree with Abba Shol. The time.
Possible, but it's not
Tommy. Possible in terms of Kodshim, in terms of Kodshim, possible means Revi, and Tommy would be Shlishi or higher.
Why?
That I just said, because Shlishi or higher is able to be Metame other food of Kodshim. If you have Revi is not. So therefore, Revi is called possible in the sense. It itself is possible, but it's not able to be Metame something else. Mm-hmm. So, our Mishnah has to go according to the Rabbanon who disagree with Abba Shol. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Abasholim, Tvul Yom, Chila LaKodesh. He says that a Tvul Yom is considered a Rishon as far as Kodesh, meaning, in other words, if he touches Kodesh, he's going to make a shame. So according to him, Kodesh is actually Tameh, if a Tvul Yom touches it. So our Mishnah can't be like him. Rav Meir, I'm a Metameh for Kodesh or Poitel or Satruma. Rav Meir says, I'll go down one level. He's considered a Shemi, so he will make Kodesh a Shlishi, which relative to Kodesh is called Tameh, because it can be Metameh, it can still create a Revi, or Poitel or Satruma, but he's only going to passel Truma in the sense, the same thing. He makes Truma Shlishi, and Shlishi in Truma is not able to make a Revi. So in other words, Abba Shol is considering him like a Rishon, the Tvul Yom like a Rishon. Rav Meir is considering him like a Sheni. The Chachamim Omim and the Chachamim say no. Kashem Shul Posel Mashke Truma Va'Ochle Truma. Just like the Tvul Yom can only passel liquids and foods of Truma, Kachu Posel Mashke Kodesh Va'Ochle Kodesh. The same way he's only able to passel liquids and foods of Kodesh. In other words, the Chachamim are saying basically that the Tvul Yom is one level is only one level higher than is needed to make something possible. So regarding Truma, we consider him a Sheni, and therefore he makes the Truma a Shlishi. Regarding Kodesh, we consider him a Shlishi, and therefore he makes it a Revi. But no higher than that. And so therefore, when our Mishnah is using the word Poisel, then that can only be according to the Rabbi, it can only be according to the Chachamim. It doesn't work according to Abba Shol, and it doesn't work according to the mayor, because both of them are saying that he's able to be metame Kodesh, that he makes Kodesh a Sheni or a Shlishi, as the case may be.
And therefore, you would not
therefore, so, they, would be. So therefore, the Mishnah shouldn't have used, if the Mishnah was according to Abba Shol or according to the mayor, it shouldn't use the expression Poisol, it should use the expression metame. Yeah. However, the Gemara says not necessarily. Omar Rava. No, not necessarily do you have to say that, because La'aba Shol Maila also Bekodshim, because we can say that according to Abba Shol, we would say the basic din is that indeed he would only passel Kodesh. However, the Chachamim made a Maila, the Chachamim made a Takana, a special thing to be Machmir when it comes to Kodshim, Shavina Rabbanon, the Tevul Yoyim, to Rishon. That the Rabbanon consider a Tevul Yoyim to be a Rishon regarding Kodesh.
So why wouldn't it be in contradiction?
So it wouldn't be in contradiction, because the Mishnah could be talking about the Din D'Oraisa. And Abba Shol is talking about a Takana D'Rabbanon. Same thing, and the same thing with a mayor ka'uchol sheni, and with a bonon with a mayor ka'uchol sheni. Rab Meir would say that the Chachamim treated a tzvul yoim as if he was a sheni, and therefore again he's mekame kodesh because he makes it a shlishi. He's poisel truma because he also makes it a shlishi, but no more than that. In other words, again, it's a takana d'rabbanon. We're not talking about the basic din d'arai. The Rabbanon, whereas the coins of the Rabbanon, who argue with them, all it is given to Tovol. They say, look, the Tevul Yoyim has already Tovol. All he's waiting for is head of Shemesh. So therefore, Kolash Tumah. So therefore, they say the Tumah has now been weakened. Therefore, Posel Meshavi, Tomei LeMeshavi, and therefore they say he has no ability to make anything Tomei. So in other words, we're not really talking about, so our Mishnah could really work according to the mayor or according to Abba Shol. Because the Mishnah is talking about the basic dinim d'oraisa, and then they're talking about takonis that they say that the Chachamim made the Rabbah. But on a d'oraisa level, he would only be postal. He would only be postal kodesh, and that's what the Mishnah is saying.
We have two machlokes: Rab Meir, Chachamim,
and Abba Shol. Yeah.
Yes.
So,
and we can make a three or second or one.
Well, so Abba Shol is saying he makes it a sheni, the Rav Meir is saying he makes it a shlishi, and the Chachamim are saying he makes it whichever is lowest, shlishi by Truma, Ravi by Kodesh. Okay.
Yeah.
We said in the Mishnah, who's a Dama Chayav in Chola? We said...
He not talk about Tumah Mami, she talk just
I was just explaining, yeah, we're talking about Tevul Yoyim, and I was just explaining while you stepped out that the word Posel means the lowest level of Tumah, which is not able to be Mekame something else. Okay. The Mishnah said, Tumas Mes, obviously. If a Tumas Mes touches it, no question, he makes it a Rishon
Tumas. Yeah.
He also,
I tell you, no.
Tumas Mes,
make a
Shlishi. Yeah. Tumas Mes, yeah. The Tumas Mes himself is an Avatoma, and he's going to make the food that he touches a Rishon Tumas.
A Rishon, not
Shlishi. Okay, but from there, you can go down to Shlishi by Truma and down to Ravi by Kodesh. Okay.
How do you go down to by Truma?
What do you mean? If you have the person touches, touches bread of Truma, and the bread touches cheese of Truma, and then we're not cheese of cheese of Truma, whatever. He touches grapes of Truma, and the grapes touch, whatever, yeah. Okay. Who's a Dama Chayav in Chola? Then we said once the blood of this was squirted onto the Mizbeach, then at that point, then we said that Pigul, Noser, and Tomei start applying, but the Ein Ba Me'ila, Me'ila doesn't apply to it anymore. So again, the question is, like we had at the end of the previous parak, Me'ila hu deleka avali surika. It sounds like Me'ila no longer applies, but it sounds like the Mishnah is implying there's still some kind of Isser on eating it.
After the
Hazar, right? Well, this is Kodshi, this is a Chasa. But again, the question is, am I? Why would it be also? At this point, the bird is the property of the Kohenim, and they're perfectly allowed to eat it, so what's the problem?
It would be still Me'ila?
No, he's saying there's no Me'ila, but the question is, why is the Mishnah saying that Ein Ba Me'ila, implying that there is still an Isser on it? Because otherwise it wouldn't have said Ein Ba Me'ila, it would have said Mutter Ba'achila, or something to that effect.
Well, you could say Me'ila Ba'ik, which is parallel to the...
Here you don't need it to be parallel. The Mishnah, the Rishon didn't use the word Me'ila. Well, okay, it said Chatasoy Moilin, well, fine. Okay, but the point is, in other words, it could have said, fine, but in the previous Mishnah, at the end of the previous Perek, it started by saying Moilin Ba'im Urein, but also, so now at the end we're arguing that, fine, once it said Moilin Ba'im Urein, then now it says Ein Moilin. But here, it could, here, especially because there you have a Murim and Basar, and it can't use a single word. It can't say, for example, Oichlin, because you're not allowed to eat a Murim. Here, you're allowed to eat the whole bird, so there's nothing of the chatas oich that goes on in the Mizbeach besides the blood of it. So the Mishnah should have just said Mutar b'achila. Obviously, if it's Mutar b'achila, then Me'ila doesn't apply anymore. So it sounds like, it says Ein Bo Me'ila, which sounds like there's still an Isra in it. It's just two different ways of saying the same. Maybe it's a gabra versus chesed. Maybe. All right, whatever. Anyway, the point is, so we're saying this is an Easter of Amai. Now, why should there be an Easter? I'm a moan in the Kohenim. It belongs to the Kohenim now. Once they squirted the blood onto the Mizbeach, they can eat it fully, right? Again, he's using the same answer as at the end of the previous Perek. We're talking about where it was taken out, before the Zrika, and therefore it's according to Rabbi Akiva, Dama Zrika Me'elos Le'yoyse, but still the Lav Batachila. Even though the Zrika helps and takes away Me'ila, but it's according to Rabbi Akiva. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer would disagree. Fine, the commission has a point to Rabbi. Actually, Tosfos brings up the point. Given that with a chatas ha'oif, you don't collect the blood in a keli. It's not like with an animal where you collect the blood in a keli and then you sprinkle it on the mizbeach. In the case of a chatas ha'oif, you squirt it directly out of the. You do hazah, and then we're going to talk about it in a minute. You do mitzui. You do hazah and mitzui. So in this case, what are you talking about? That the bird was taken out. If the head end of it was taken out first, then the blood is anyway possible. And if the feet were taken out first, the Tosfos wins from a Gemara in Zvachim that says even then it's possible because liquids, fluids from the whole body mixed together, and therefore you have it. The blood circulates throughout the body, so therefore you have some blood that was in the legs at the time ends up getting squirted out. So Tosfos gives a few different answers. One of them is, let's say, all the blood was collected in the neck before you took it out. So then, even if the leg stuck out, there is no meaningful amount of fluid in the leg that would make a problem with the zrika. Another possibility Tosfos says is, let's say, for example, you cut off the part that goes out. So it's not possible because you didn't completely cut it off. So it's not mechutzer eiver, and then you did the melissa. But therefore, it's mostly severed from the body, and therefore no fluids from it are going to mix with the other. And then Tosfos brings a third answer from Rabbeinu Rehavia, who says that what it is that basically you're not allowed to do it, but b'di'evet it would work. So he was talking about he did it b'di'evet. He did let the leg out. The leg wasn't at all detached from the body. It is completely attached, and blood is circulating. But nevertheless, b'di'evet, you'd still be allowed to do that. Well. Okay. Anyway. So the Mishnah would be saying, therefore, in that case, you even if he did the hazah, nevertheless, it still doesn't make the bird mutter to eat, and therefore the Mishnah is implying that there's an issue. Okay. Now, we know when it comes to a chatas ha'oif, you have two parts of the putting the blood on the mizbeach. You have hazah and you have mitzui. Hazah is you hold the bird a little bit of a distance away from the mizbeach, and you squeeze it, and the blood squirts out from the neck onto the wall of the mizbeach. It has to be below the chutz hasifra, below the red line around the middle of the mizbeach. So you do hazah, you squirt it from a distance onto the mizbeach. Then you do mitzui, which is you take the body of the bird with the head still attached. Because when it comes to a chatas ha'oif, you don't separate the head from the body. When it comes to an oilus, if you do, but when it comes to a chatas, if you don't. We had a discussion about it as well. We had a machlokes whether you're allowed to or not, but by the chatas, the halacha is that you don't. So you keep the head and the body together. We talked about over there where it means cutting only one sin and cutting both sin on and whatever. So the head is still actually attached to the body, but you take the place where the melika was done, the neck, and you press it against the wall of the mizbeach, and the blood seeps down from there and goes down towards the stone. That's mitzvah.
You press the area of the melika against the wall
of the mizbeach, and the blood trickles down from there. And
mitzvah?
That's mitzvah. Hazah, meanwhile, is before that. You take the bird, you hold it a couple of inches or whatever away from the mizbeach, and then squeeze it, and the blood squirts out.
What's the purpose of the mitzvah?
That's the Torah says you have to do it. You got to do it. But now the question is, one second. Omer of Huna Omer Rav Mitzui Chatas Oif Einim Akiv. So Rav Huna Omer Rav says that if you didn't do the Mitzui in a Chatas Oif, it doesn't matter. You the korban was still kosher, and the reason is it was still Mechatas. The Toni Rav who is a Dama, And Rav's version, in fact, Rav's version of our Mishnah is the way we have it. Who's the Adama? That once the blood was squirted onto the Mizbeach, then Pigul, Noser, and Tomei kick in, and then Ila goes away. Because according to him, all that's needed to make it a kosher korban is the hazah. You're supposed to do the mitzvah, but if you didn't, then it's a korban, still kosher. Rav Adarba Ava Omar Rav, mitzvah chashasa it ma'asev. On the other hand, Rav Adarba Ava says in the name of Rav that no, the mitzvah chashasa it is ma'asev. The Tony Rav, mitzvah doma. And he says that Rav's version of our Mishnah was not huza doma, but rather mitzvah doma. That only after he pressed it against the mizbeach and then squeezed out the blood, only then does Me'ilah go away and Pigul Moser and Tomei come in. Okay. So which is it? Toshma, the Pasuk says, let's prove from the Pasuk. It says what's left over of the blood should be pressed out on the wall so it goes down to the Yisod of the Mizbeach. It doesn't mean you do it on the Yisod. It means you do it on the wall above the Yisod. The Gemara in Zvachim explains is how we know it's on the lower half of the Mizbeach. The blood can automatically trickle down to the Yisod. And it says,
Chas.
It doesn't necessarily have to touch the Yisod. It just has to be able to. There's nothing in the way. If you did it above the Chut HaSikra, then it would be. That's not the point. The point is, if you did it on the top half of the Mizbeach, then the Soviv would be in the way. Well, it's possible, and the reason is because the Soviv is in the way and is going to prevent the blood from trickling down to the Yisod. As opposed to you do it on the lower half of the Mizbeach, below the Chut HaSikra, nothing will prevent it. It may not actually reach there because there may not be very much of it, but it could reach it. What does that have to do with anything? The point is that it's good. The point is there's nothing of the Mizbeach itself blocking. Okay. So, the process is saying that the rest of the blood has to be squeezed out onto the, so it goes onto the third. Chatasi, it is a chatas. So, b'shleim alot of Adarba'ava, ha'inirachtiv anisha b'adam yimotze chatasi. So, according to Adarba'ava, that's what the pasuk means. Only after you do the mitzvah is it considered a chatas, that now the korban was accepted, and now Pigul, Moser, and Tomei start applying and Me'ilah doesn't. That now it has the full din of a chatas, in other words, elalot of Huna, mai v'hanisha. So according to Rav Huna, what does v'hanisha mean? If according to him, why is it saying chatas here at the end of the pasuk, implying that only after the mitzvah is only after the mitzvah? Yeah, it's a kasha. Well, both of them are according to Rav. Rav Huna and Rav Adarba Ava are both quoting Rav. They have two different versions of what Rav is saying. But according to Rav Huna, why is it saying v'hanisha? Why is it saying what's left over should be squeezed out? Not necessarily is there no leftover, but there could be leftover, but according to him, it's not ma'active, so why bother mentioning it? The answer is, Rav Huna would say, it's like what Tanya Dvei Rabbi Shmuel says. She'im nisha. It doesn't mean there has to be. The mitzvah, if there is leftover blood, then you're supposed to do mitzvah. But let's say there wasn't any leftover. Let's say when he first held the bird and squeezed it and the blood squirted out. Let's say by doing that, he squirted out all of its blood and now there's none left to do mitzvah. No problem.
It's no problem.
It's still good. Okay. So the question is, umay chapati aresha. You're asking also why does it say chapati after the mitzvah, which implies that you need the mitzvah in order for it to be considered a chatas, he would say aresha. That's referring to the first half of the pasuk, the first part of the pasuk that mentions that you have to do the hazah, the hizah, midam chatas, al-kir ha-mizbeach. So that chatas, if you didn't do the hazah, then it's not a chatas.
But it refers to the first part.
The whole pasuk goes. The whole pasuk goes. Vehiza midama chatas akira mizbeach. Vahanisha badam yimaseh yisera mizbeach. What's left over the blood should be pressed out onto the should be pressed out and go down to the yisera of the mizbeach. Chatas he. It is a chatas. So the machshon was asking that the words chatasi at the end of the pasuk sound like they're referring to the whole thing, and therefore it sounds like you need both hazah and mitzvah for it to be considered a chatas, which is what Rav Adarba Ava says. So Rav Huna is saying, no, it only refers to the first half of the pasuk. You have to do the hazah, the hizah midam achatas al kiram mizbeach. And by the way, the pasuk is then interjecting, by the way, if there is blood left, there is a mitzvah to press it out against the wall of mizbeach and let it trickle down. But either way, whether you did or not, as long as you did the hazah, chatasi, it is a chatas and it's kosher.
Is
going only on the reisha. Yeah.
It's going only on the
first half of the pasuk. Amalei Rav Acha Bered Rav Ola Rav Ashi Ela Me'ata. So by your logic, if you are telling us that when it says V'hanisha Badam is not meaning according to Rav Huna that there has to be blood left over and you have to do mitzvah, just that if there is blood left over, there is a mitzvah, l'chachila, to do mitzvah. If you're going to take that view, gabe mincha, what about consider a similar expression that it says by a korban mincha, dichtiv b'hanayseres, where it says by the mincha, v'hanayseres, what is left over of the mincha, is to be eaten by the koranim. Hochinami she'im nitoisar. Would you say the same thing? That it means there doesn't necessarily have to be any shirayim left over after the kmitza. If there's any left over, then the koranim eat it. It's not like that. The chitema hochinami. Well, why not? You have ban yisho, you have ban yisho over here, and you have ban yisheres over here, and it amounts to the same thing on the face of it.
Why don't you say one for the other?
Well, you should say it by, if Rav Huna is going to say it by Chatzos, why doesn't he say it by Mincha? The chitema hochinami. You're going to say maybe yes, maybe the pasuk is implying that the shirayim don't have to be present. Can't v'hatanya misolto mishamna alkol benosa. We learn in a brisa. Since the pasuk says that he takes the koymet from its soilus, from its fine flour, umishamna, and from its oil, al kol levoinosa, together with all of its levoina, because as we learned in Menachos, what the Kohen does is he takes the kmitza from the flour and oil mixture, and then he collects all the levoina that was sprinkled on the mincha and puts it on top of the kohen. But that means when it says misolta umishamna, it's soilus and its shemen, meaning that there has to be all the soilus and all the shemen that was there at the time of the kmitza, prat shechosra solta, v'chosra shamna, v'chosra levoinosa, as opposed to if some of the soilus or some of the shemen or some of the levoina is missing is after the kmitza, then you can't offer the kmitza on the mizbeach. So we see that v'hanei seres over there doesn't mean if there should happen to be any left, then you burn the kmitza on the mizbeach. It means there has to be the exact amount that there was there before. So why don't we say over here by v'hanisha v'adom, the same thing. It means that there has to be blood left over, and if you don't squeeze it onto the mizbeach, if you don't press it against the mizbeach when it's possible. The answer is Amri. The answer is there's a difference. Hosem ksiv v'hanei seres kro yisera. The difference is because by the korban mincha, you have an extra time that it says v'hanei seres. You have by a regular korban mincha, and then you also have by the mincha chavitin or whatever. You have in a couple of places it uses the expression v'hanei seres. And we have a general rule that Rashi says shana olav akosav la'akiv, that when the pasuk repeats something twice, it means it's absolutely essential. And if you don't have it, then the korban is possible. So therefore, the extra v'hanei seres means there has to be the exact amount left that there was before. There has to be the shirayim, not shirayim of the shirayim. Here you only have the one time v'hanisha. So therefore, we can say that it means it's optional. If there's blood left, then you must it, and you're supposed to squeeze it out. And if not, then not. So Kroya Seraksit says an extra pos, it says an extra posik behind Seras, and therefore that means that it's massive. Okay. Most of Avur de Shmuel over Rav Ovin Rav Huna. So now Avur de Shmuel and Rav Ovin ask the following question to Rav Huna. So again, you're telling us that the Misui is not massive. As long as you did the Hazah of the Chatas Oif, then you're good and the Korban is kosher. But We learned in Zvachim.
We have another opinion about
that. We had Rav Adavava. But he's asking on Rav Huna. You're telling us that if you didn't do the mitzvah, it's kosher, as opposed to Rav Adavava telling us that if you didn't do the mitzvah, it's no good. So we learned a Mishnah in Zvachim, Echad Chatas Ha'oif Ve'echad Oyla Sa'oif, Shemolkon, U'mitza Domen, whether it comes to the Chatas Ha'oif or the Oyla Sa'oif, if he did Melissa, and then he mitza Domen, he pressed out their blood, because the Oyla Sa'oif also, you press out the blood against the Mizbeach, Chutz L'Mekoyman, if when he was doing it, he had a thought of Chutz L'Mekoyman, that he's going to eat it or burn it or whatever, outside the Azara. No, well, that's not, no, Mekoyman is not Tigel, Mekoyman is Possel. Post over end by Kodesh, so the usual rules apply. In other words, the mitzui, in other words, the point is we're saying, the mitzui is still considered a part of the zrika. We know that after the zrika, it's too late to make the korban pigul or posel, so therefore, what the Mishnah is implying over there is that the mitzui is considered part of the, zrika. If he had a thought of chutzos manos, then it's pigol and a person is chayav kares for eating it. So, katoni miyach mitzah daman. So the Mishnah is mentioning mitzah daman. In other words, the mitzui is ma'akid. If you're able to make the korban pigol during the mitzui, it must mean that the mitzui is essential.
So why are you saying
it's not? The answer is, who most of Bob, who mafarek la, Avur de Shmuel asked the question, and he also answered it, l'fzodin katoni. We can answer that the Mishnah is... No, the Mishnah is, the Tzadon Katani means that we break up the words of the Mishnah into two. Molkan, that he did the Malika, refers to both the Chatas Hoif and the Oila Ta'oif. Because with a bird korban, now with an animal korban, with a mincha, you have four avoidas. With an animal korban, you have shchita, kabbalah, halacha, and zrika. With a mincha, you have kmita, matan, bakli, halacha, and haktara. With a mincha, you have four avodas also. You have kmita, you have putting the kumis into a keli, which is the equivalent of kabbalah, walking it over to the mizbeach, and burning it on the mizbeach, which is the equivalent of zrika. But there's four. Kmita, matan bakli, halacha, and when it comes to a bird korban, you only have two avodas, the shchita and the hazah, or the mitzvah. So, in other words, that's what we're saying. According to Rav Huna, mitzvah is not essential, right? But also with an olas ha'oif, you only have mitzvah. But in other words, so that's what he's saying. What's dod in katani? When the Mishnah used the expression, the Mishnah mentioned that molkon or mitzvah draman, the word molkon refers to both of them, both the chatas and the oila, because that is the first of the two avodas, and he's able to make it pigle then. But the word mitzvah draman is not referring to both of them. It's only referring to the oila. No, it's only referring to the oila, because according to the chatas, you don't need mitzvah. So in the chatas, the latest time he can make it piggle is when he's doing the hazah. If he didn't make it piggle during the hazah, or possible during the hazah, that's Rav Huna. So Abu Adishmul asked the question to Rav Huna, and then he answered it, that we should answer that the Mishnah is l'tzadin, that the two words in the Mishnah, shemolkon and mitzadamon, one is talking about both of them, and one is talking only about the chatas, only about the other. Okay. Good. The word chatas is talking about both, and the word mitzah is talking only about the oila. Okay, so gufa, getting back to what we said before, Tanad Ve'Rabbi Shmuel Sheim Nisha Badam, we said that Tanad Ve'Rabbi Shmuel said, if there is any left of the blood, then you press it out against the mizbeach, but if not, then not, and that's Rav Huna is basing himself on that, and saying that
if you don't make mitzvah normal.
That it means that if you didn't make mitzvah, then it's no problem.
If you didn't make mitzvah, then it's no problem.
You did hazah, and there was no blood left off afterwards to do mitzvah. So the question is, the problem with that is that we just quoted a Tanit.
Okay.
One second. According to Rav Huna and according to Tanit Ve'Rabbi Shmuel, we're saying if there was no blood left over after the hazah, it's no for mitzvah, it's no problem. If you don't do the mitzvah, the korban is still kosher.
That's
Rav Huna, and we're saying that Tanad Ve'Rabbi Shmuel understands it the same way. They say the word v'hanisha doesn't mean there has to be blood left over. It means if there's blood left over, then you have a mitzvah to do mitzvah. Rav Huna said the same thing. Rav Adab Abba disagreed. No,
disagreed.
Right. The question is, though, within Tanad Ve'Rabbi Shmuel, we have a stira. V'hatanad Ve'Rabbi Shmuel hasam. We have a different Tanad Ve'Rabbi Shmuel, also in Zvachim, in Parak Ezo Mekoyman, that says, Shirayim Ma'asin, that he says that not putting the Shirayim on the Mizbeah prevents the korban from being kosher. Now, we say every day in davening, in Ezo Mekoyman, we say, Shirayim Adama Yishofef, but im loy nosan loy ikev, the Gemara brings over there, a Tanad Ve'Rabbi Shmuel, that who disagrees, and says, im loy nosan, then it is ma'akev, but what are we talking about? The Amar of Papa, Mitzri Chatas Ha'ofik Ebenayu, and Rav Papa explains, they're not actually arguing with a regular Shirayim, with a regular korban, where you have a regular animal korban, where you have Shirayim that are poured on the Yisoid, everybody agrees, Rabbi Shmuel also, Tanad Ve'Rabbi Shmuel also, that im loy nosan loy ikev, but he's arguing regarding the Chatas Ha'ofik. The Mitzri is done basically with the Shirayim. You have the blood that's left over in the neck after you did Hazah, which you're supposed to do Mitzri with, and he's saying it is ma'akev.
So that's a contradiction.
How is Tanan Ve'Rabbi Shmuel saying it's not ma'akev, and then in another braisa he's saying it is? The answer is Trei Tanoim Ba'al Libra Rabbi Shmuel. You actually have two Tanoim who disagree what Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is. One says it is ma'akev, one says not. As far as the machloikas of Rav Huna and Rav Adar Bar Abba, who is the halacha like? The smag paskins like Rav Huna, the Rambam paskins like Rav Adar Bar Abba, that Mitzri is ma'akev. With that said, the Rambam also writes, though, that once Hazar was done, then Me'ila goes away, and the Noitza Kalim on the Rambam, in particular the Lechem Mishnah, deal with how does that fit. And then the answer is basically he says that's what the Rambam would understand, that there's a difference between when Me'ila goes away versus when Pigul, Noser, and Tomei come in. Pigul, Noser, and Tomei, you need Mitzri to have been done in order for them to be Chal, but Me'ila can go away once Hazar was done.
the Mishnah. We said the Mishnah at the beginning.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't. No. Okay.
So the smag, which, who we follow,
we don't have a bit mikdash now, we don't have anybody to follow. The smag is one of the Rishonim, the Moshe Mikotzi. He's one of the Balei HaTosfos, one of the later Balei HaTosfos, but whatever, he's a Rishon also of the same caliber as the Rambam. I believe he was the same generation, or maybe the next generation, whatever. He was in France, whatever, but yeah.
What's the name?
The smag, Sefer Mitzvah Gadol, it stands for. His name was Rav Moshe Mikotzi.
Mikotzi in France?
Rav Moshe Mikotzi, yeah.
Okay.
Rashi doesn't bring him. He lives. Tosis brings. Tosis brings a Sam Kutzi. I don't know if Tosis brings the Moshe Mikutzi because he was a little bit later. But yeah, okay. One famous thing. I mean, let's not go too far off topic. He's a Rishon. He's entitled to argue with the Rambam. But yeah. But in any case, famously, one thing about this Moshe Mikutzi, he. Kutsi, whatever. And in Tosfos, the place is written Kutsi. Whatever. Anyway, one famous thing about him, by the way, he, 700 years before the Rebbe, came up with mitzvah tefillin in his own time. He found that in his time, people were being careless with mitzvah tefillin, so he went on a tour around...
The
Rebbe mentioned it at the time, actually, in the Sichas, and when the Rebbe started mitzvah tefillin, he mentioned that the Smag famously went on a tour around different kahilas in France and in Spain, where people were being careless with the mitzvah of tefillin, and he was ma'oro them about the importance of it, and many people started putting on tefillin that they hadn't before. Okay. All right. Mishnah says, Oilas... This is after Rebbe Natan's time. This is 60 years after that. In Rabbi Natan's times, maybe they weren't careless with it yet. I don't know. In Rabbi Natan's times, maybe they weren't careless with it yet. I don't know. Anyway. All right. Onward. Okay. Onward. Mishnah says, Oilas ta'oif. So before we talk about Chata ta'oif, so now let's talk about Oilas ta'oif. Moilin bo misha huktisha. Again, Me'ila begins to apply once you were makdash it, prepare, as Rashi said before, where at that point, again, if you were to try to take it and sell it, for example, then you've committed Me'ila. Nimlaka, once you do Malika, surely possible to again, as we said in the previous Mishnah with the Chakas, now Tvul Yom touches the bird, or Mechosik Yiporim touches it, then it becomes possible. It makes it possible, and now it can't be brought as a carbon. Well, possible, we said, is not the same as Tomei, but yeah, it's the lowest level of Tomei. It's a reveal of Tomei, we said. Ovalina, and now if the blood or the meat of it is left overnight, then it'll become possible. Mitzah Dama, once he squeezed out the blood onto the Mizbeach, because by an Ola you only have Mitzui, with a Chatas, again, you have Azah and Mitzui. With an Ola, so if you only have Mitzui. Chayav and Ola, Mishom, Tigal, Nois of the Tomei. Hazar and Mitzui. Ola, so if you only have Mitzui. Only Mitzui, right. So, Mitzah Dama. Yeah, we learned it in Zvachim. We did it in the sixth paragraph. We talked about it then. Chayav and Ola, Mishom, Tigal, Nois of the Tomei. At that point, Tigal, Nois and Tomei, those Isurim take effect. However, Me'ila still applies to it, because unlike a Chatas with the Heter Achila, an Ola is no Heter Achila. You're not allowed to eat it. So therefore, Me'ila continues to apply to it, ad chetesi le-beis hadeshen, until the ashes of it are taken out to the beis hadeshen. The beis hadeshen is that there's actually a few different batei deshen. There's one next to them. So we know that every day there was trumas hadeshen. Every day the first avodah of the day was a kohen would go up to the mizbeach and take one shovelful, whatever you want to call it, of ashes from the mizbeach and put them on the floor near the mizbeach. Tosfos actually in Zvachim talks about there's a number of different things. The Gemara says were placed over there, also the Mura and Nota of an Ola Sa'oif, also the Dishon Mizbeach Nimi and the Dishon Amanota. Tosfos discusses in Zvachim, the Gemara says that a number of those things were swallowed up into the ground. But Derech Nes, Tosfos discusses, was that also true of the Trumas Hadeshen? Was it also swallowed up into the ground, but Derech Nes, or not, that they have to clear it away afterwards? Whatever it is, that's one base Hadeshen. And then you have, eventually, the pile of ashes on the Mizbeach would get big enough, and then they clear off the whole thing and deposit it outside of Yerushalayim. That's the other Beit Hadeshen. So we're saying, once the ashes are taken to the Beit Hadeshen, fine, then the usual rule is that once the mitzvah has been done with something, then Me'ilah no longer applies. At that point, the last mitzvah that could be done with the remains of this Oilas Ha'oif has been done. So at that point, Me'ilah doesn't apply to the ashes anymore, but up until that point, it does. Next. Purim and Nisrofim with Seirim and Nisrofim, the Purim and Seirim that have to be burnt. So we have the you have the power and the sorrow of Yom Kippur. You have the power hell of Davar Shal Tzibur. You have the Seirim for Avodah Zarah of the Tzibur. The power hell is the power of the Kohen Mashiach. Anyway, all of those, Molan Behen Mishah Hukdashu, again, being Kodshe Kodshim, and being that there's no heter to eat them. So you have a similar concept as far as the Oilas Oif. Ne'ilah begins to apply when you makdish them. Nishatu, once you shech them, then they get a higher status. Hukshu will be possible to Ulyoim or Mokhote Kippurim Uvalina. Then again, if a Tzvul Yom or Mechotik Kippurim touches them, then they become apostle. And if the meat or the blood is left overnight, is left after Shvia, it becomes apostle. Huzadaman, once the blood of them is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, then again, a higher level, Chayoban Aleim Mishom Tigul Noisu the Tomei, now the sort of Tigul Noisu and Tomei kick in, if a person were to eat from the meat. Umoylan behen the Beis Hadeshen, and even when they're taken out to the Beis Hadeshen to be burnt, all these five korbanos are supposed to be burnt outside the Machne, outside Yerushalayim, in the Beis Hadeshen. So Me'ilah still applies to them when they're in the Beis Hadeshen, even when they're on fire, ad sheyasich habaser, until the meat is consumed and becomes ashes. At that point, the meat, yatech meloshin nitach, meloshin like it flows, so to speak, like it's become ashes that just like flow and then move around. At that point, then the mitzvah has been done. And again, once dover shenachas mitzvah, so then the mitzvah doesn't apply. Next, ha'ola, a korban ola. Moilan Bamisha Hukdasha, same thing. Me'ilah applies on Oilas Behema, that is. Me'ilah applies once you amakish it. Nishchata, once it was shechted. Hukshurely possible to Vulyom and Machotik Purim of Lina. Same thing. And if Vulyom and Machotik Purim touches it, he makes it possible. And if Lina happens, it becomes possible. Misha Nizrach Dama, once the blood is sprinkled, then Chayavan Aleamashon Pigal Noisa Vatame. Again, now the Isurim of Pigal Noisa and Tame kick in after the Zrika. Before the Zrika, they wouldn't. The person would be over on a different Isur if he ate from it before the Zrika, but not pigol or no seratami. The ein moilin ba'oros. Now, me'ila will not apply to the skin of the animal because the skins of the oilus belong to the kohen. Avol moilin ba'bos. Once the blood of the korban was sprinkled and everything was kosher, at that point, first of all, if the korban was pigul and a person ate from it, he'd be chayav kares. If it was noiser, same thing. If it was the person was tomei, same thing. But now the meat, unlike with a chatas, because you're not allowed to eat the meat of an oila, therefore me'ila still applies to the meat and to the emorim. The only thing that me'ila goes away from is the skins. The ein moilin ba'oros, me'ila no longer applies to the skins.
So as soon as there's rika,
then
you can't have pigul and
then if, yeah, that's what, the same thing as with all the other korbanos that we were saying before. So. Avol moilin ba'boser ad sheketzer le'beis hadeshen. Again, me'ila will continue to apply to the meat until the ashes of that meat are taken out to the beis hadeshen. Again, at that point, the mitzvah has been done. Dover shenasas and tzvasei, therefore no more me'ila.
And the oiris?
The oiris belong to the kohen. Therefore, there's no me'ila. Once they're mutter, the same way as once the meat of the korban is mutter to the kohenim, then me'ila goes away from it. The same way, once the skins are mutter to the kohenim, then me'ila goes away from it. Next, we have the next degree of Kodshe Kodshim, which are the Kodshe Kodshim which are eaten, namely Chatas and Osham and the Shalmei Tzibur of Shavuos. Again, Moilin Behen Mishul Tishu, they have the same rules as other Kodshe Kodshim that we've discussed so far. So Me'ila begins to apply to them from when he was Makdish them. Nishchatu, once they were shechted, then they get the status Hukshurally possible to Ulyom of Mechotik Kippurim of Alina. Nizrak Daman, once the blood was sprinkled, Chayavan Aleha Mishom Pigul Noisa Vatame. Now, unlike the other korbanos that we were describing before, Ein Moilin Bebaser, now Me'ila no longer applies to the meat, because now the meat is mutter for the kohenim to eat. Or, as we said, even if for a side reason, such as Yosei, the meat is also for the kohenim to eat. Nevertheless, Me'ila has gone away, because the Zrika itself, as opposed to the oila, right? Because the zrika was done properly. Avol moilin ve'emurim ad sheyetzer le'beis hadeshen. But me'ila continues to apply to the emurim until the ashes of them are taken out to the beis hadeshen, and at that point the mitzvah of them is over. Next, shtei alechem, the shtei alechem that are brought on Shavuos. Moilin behen mishahok teshu. Again, once they were...
Why
because they were... No, shtei halechem. the two loaves of bread that are brought on Shavuos. Shtei lechem would mean two loaves, any two loaves. Shtei halechem means the particular two loaves. Moilin behen meshavokishu. Moilin behen meshavokishu. Me'ila starts applying to them when they were makdashit. Kormu batanur, once the loaves start crusting over in the oven, because as we learned a few days ago, before that there's the dough, they don't yet have their full kedusha guf. Once they start forming the crust, before the crust, they're still dough, so therefore they're not considered bread in halacha, and therefore they don't yet have the kedusha of the shtei alechem. So kormu batanur, once they start developing a crust in the oven, hukshurli possible tvul yoyim and mechotik kiporim of lina. So now tvul yoyim and mechotik kiporim and lina start applying to them. Rashi says over here, and Tosfos also brings in Tosfos also brings from Tosfos in Zvachim that not necessarily does Luna belong here in the Mishnah, because in fact the Shtei Alechem that we learned in Menachos, the Shtei Alechem are supposed to be baked before Yom Tov, and they're offered on Yom Tov because they're baking them is not Doche Yom Tov. So therefore, of necessity, Luna can't hassle them because they have to be baked on Erev Yom Tov or Erev Shabbos if Yom Tov starts on Sunday.
No.
The point is, lina means, in other words, that if they were left overnight, they become fossil, but obviously not over here. We discussed it in Menachos. The basic question was, is the oven where they're baked, is it considered a kli sharis? If the oven where they're baked is considered a kli sharis, then lina applies just like anything else that was in a kli sharis. If not, then not. So it could be that our Mishnah is using the word lina because it follows the opinion that the oven is a kli sharis, and therefore that they are actually based on Yom Tov. And therefore, lina would apply. But on the other hand, if we say that it's not, and which is in fact the halacha, then lina doesn't belong in the mission. Okay. And another point is that now, once the bread started crusting over, now you're allowed to shech the carbon. We have the two sheep and a few other carbonas that come with it. Before they start forming a crust, they're not called lechem. So at that point, if you shechted the sheep and the other karbanos, then they would be tossel. But now that the bread, the karbanos, but now that the bread started forming a crust, even though the inside is still dough, at that point, you're allowed to shech the karbanos.
Have to cover the whole of the
shtei lechem? It's a good question. I'm not sure when it says karm or whether it means they have to cover the whole thing or not. I don't think so, but I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. Okay. Nizrak Domen Shokvasim, once the blood of the two sheep, the Shalmei Tzibur, that accompanied the Shtei Alechem, once that blood was sprinkled, Chayovan Aleim Shom Pigol Noisu V'Tomei, at that point, Pigol Noisu and Tomei apply to the meat of the Kvasim, and also to the Shtei Alechem. The Ein Ben Me'ila, and at that point, Me'ila no longer applies, because now there's Shat Tetz of Akayonim, and the mitzvah has been done. Because of the korbanos that accompany the shtei alechem, the kvasim are the most important. You have a few other. You have. We learned in Menachos. You have besides the shtei kvasim, you have another shiva kvasim and an ayil and whatever. But all the point is the first two are the shalmei tzibur. The other ones are various olos and chatos that accompany it. But those the kashrus of the shtei alechem depends on the shnei kvasim, or vice versa. Actually, the kashrus of the shtei kvasim depends on the lechem.
And they come first, they're offered first.
I don't remember if we said they're offered first or not, but the point is that they're the ones that are most intimately tied together with the lechem. Okay. Next, lechem upon him, moilim b'mishu hukdusha, again with the lechem upon him, same idea. Once they're machdish the wheat for it, at that point, then me'ila would start to apply. Koram batanur, once the bread starts crusting over in the oven, now it's considered bread in halacha. What? The crust starts forming a crust. Yeah. The crust. Now again, if a tvul yom and mechotik kiporim touches it, it becomes possible. And now, once it was crusted over, you're allowed to set it onto the shulchan. Before that, it's considered dough, and you can't put it there yet.
Again, we don't know how much crust you need.
Oh, right. But the point is there has to be a certain amount or whatever the proper amount of crust is, and that's the minimum it has to be baked in order to put on the shulchan. Ola hester agabe ha-shulchan. Tovu ha-bazichin. Later on, we know they put it on one Shabbos, and they offer, they together with two bazichim of levina, two spoonfuls of levina. The next Shabbos, they take the two spoonfuls and they're mak with them, and then they take the old lechem aponim off the shulchan and distribute it to eat among the Kohanim.
What did it
with the Bazuchan? We learned in Menachos, we had a machlokas whether they go between the stacks of Lachem Aponim or whether they go on top of them. Depends on the size of the Shulchan. Anyway, Chayav and Olam Mishum Pigul Nois of the Tomei. At that point, once the Bazuchan are offered, that is the equivalent of offering the Komas of a Mincha. Therefore, Chayav and Olam Mishum Pigul Nois of the Tomei. Therefore, a person would eat from the Shea Lechem at that, from the Lechem Aponim at that point, and they were, if they were Pigul or Nois or he was Tomei, then he'd be chayv koris or chatas, the ein boi me'ila, and me'ila doesn't apply because now the kohenim are allowed to eat the lachem aponim. And the last one, hamenachos, merlin mehem b'shochdeshu, a regular kohen mincha, me'ila starts applying to them from when you makdish them. Kodshu b'kli, once they're placed into a kli sharet, now they get a higher level of kdusha. Huchshu really possible tvul yoyim v'mechot kiporim v'valina. Now, if a tvul yoyim v'mechot kiporim touches them, or if they're left over after shkia, then they become possible. Korav ha-koymet, once the koymet was offered on the Mizbeach, chayovin ala mishon pigol nois v'tame, bruning the koymet is the equivalent of zrika for an animal korban, therefore pigol nois v'tame start applying. Yeah, it's like the zrika. The ein molin v'shirai. What? Korav ha-koymet. Korav ha-koymet, once the koymet was offered on the Mizbeach. The ein moilin b'shirayim. At that point, also the shirayim, which now the kohenim are allowed to eat the shirayim, so therefore me'ila doesn't apply to them anymore. Aval moilin b'koymet tachiyet to the beis hadeshen, but the koymet me'ila would still apply to even after it was burnt until the ashes of it are taken out to the beis hadeshen, because again only at that point did we say that the last mitzvah that could be done with the remains of this koymet has been done.
The offering of the mincha is allowing the shirayim.
Yeah, when you offer the claimant, it allows the shirayim to be eaten. Same way as the zrika of the blood of a korban allows the korban to be eaten. Yeah. Okay. So we'll start with the Gemara tomorrow, and we'll focus on the point over here when we mentioned several times in the Mishnah that when you have something that's burnt on the Mizbeach, that Me'ila continues to apply to the ashes, until they're taken out to the Beis HaDeshen, so the Gemara is going to take up that point and discuss. Yes, we're going to talk about that over here. We're going to talk about the Machlokas about it. So we're going to see. Okay.
What time tomorrow?
What's it mean by ashes?
It means that if a person uses the ashes, if you could have the same thing. You have Hanor, you have Hanor, you have Pugan. What do you mean? Yeah, a person could use the ashes for some purpose. You could use whatever you want to use ashes for. I don't know. You could use. You know.
No, ashes is not.
No. Fine. You can't burn them. No, but I don't know. You could find some purpose. You could find some purpose for ashes. Yeah, ashes mamish. So that's what we're going to discuss. That's true. But the mitzvah, you could use ashes for kisya adam. True, but mitzvah lab lahonis. However, with that said though, you do bring up a good point, because let's say you're not doing kisya adam for the mitzvah. Let's say you're just doing it because you don't want your backyard to be dirty with blood. Or let's say that would be an example of using it. And if you had a shov of truth as use of it, then you've committed melee. Yeah, that would be a good example. If you do it for mitzvah, fine. Mitzvah lab lahonis. So you can't say that there was hanah. Then the only thing would be if this began, and ashes don't really have a mark. So the apostles maybe not. But yeah, let's say he's using ashes to cover something else objectionable, not particularly for the mitzvah.
Thank you very much.